really comprehend what it would be like to enter the heavens like Paul did, like Jesus did, like Moses did? Will we really, really hunger to bow before him? Or we will give him excuses? I recall Howard Pittman when he testified about his dying and entering the heavens and coming before the Lord, and I did this for you, Lord, and I did that for you, Lord. Just had an aneurysm in his stomach and died on the process of getting to the hospital. And I can remember his list of excuses that Jesus looked at him and said, "You did that for yourself. You were serving yourself. Well, I brought up 17 orphans. You did that because it was a good idea from your own mind. Wasn't my plan. You already got the benefits. Well, I went downtown New Orleans every Saturday and I witnessed to the saints and I did this and I did that. I visited the hospitals and I did this and I did that." He says, all because of traditions and your own idea. You already got the pay. And I can remember my own heart looking at myself and listening to his words telling us, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They won't follow another." This evening I was pressed to see the bread that was awesome, that was brought for us for this love feast that he's provided. And of all places, it's made from Canada. So those of you who have some Canadian blood in you, maybe a little Indian blood in you, maybe it's time that we realize that these men and women that were here before us, all over the Americas, some of them got very badly treated. And I'm certain that when these who came and conquered them had to face the Lord, I wonder what their excuses were. What is my excuse? I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Christ Jesus, have mercy. Forgive us for being strong-willed and set in our own ways, and serving ourselves. In John chapter 5, verse 30, the second part, says Jesus never did anything to please himself. At some point, you might consider taking a pad and pencil and writing down how much of a 24-hour period that you do things to please yourself and see who the Lord is of your life. Whether it's the one that you say, "Lord, Lord," or "self, self." I want you to know that there are times that we question God. Of course, probably you never had that problem, but I have. So, this afternoon I was questioning. What? You know, knocking on his door. He says he's at the door knocking. How many have knocked on his door? I didn't say, is anybody home? Because I know he's always around. But this is what he said to me. I heard loud and clear, 1 Kings 4. So I wrote it down and proceeded. Kind of neat that at 2:25 a.m. on March 1st, 07, the Lord gave me the same scripture. And many times he'll get me up in the middle of the night. And so I just wanted to let you know, Mary, you're not alone. I was 25 minutes later than you, but that's a private joke for those of you who are wondering what we're doing. The night that her daughter had a head-on collision, she was up at 2 o'clock in the morning and couldn't go back to sleep. So she interceded all night, or I should say all morning. And we learned also that Daniel, down in the Carolinas, was also interceding for his sister. I happened to share that testimony and told my grandnephew to check the website last night because he had 2 head-on collisions this summer. And his life was preserved because of his mother and those that have been interceding for him. So he's a little bit older than Jessica, but he was all excited. We had a nice long conversation. That's why Canada was on my mind. And of course, now we have Canadian bread. And see the connections? God is so, so sweet. This is what I want you to see. 29, verse 29. Chapter 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sands of the seashore. Isn't that intense? God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sands of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan and Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, Darda, and sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Isn't that awesome? He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedars of Lebanon to the hyssop. I love that idea. Isn't that intense? Hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So can you imagine the reputation of this man? And yet we have one as our Savior that is greater. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I just heard about Solomon. Go ahead. But the greater one is in me. Living inside of me. So much for advertisement, huh? You see, a lot of times, when we read the word, we don't get personal because it's always for them. But God was trying to show me that, you know, the wisdom of Solomon was something that all the nations got excited about at that time. And we have the greater one within us. I remember my old pastor one time used to give us quite intense teachings, and one of them, he really jolted me. And he says, are you aware that you have a greater spirit than anyone around you that does not know the Lord? A superior spirit. And he began to, you know, go through the word and give all the scriptures about us having a superior spirit. Well, it is superior. That's why you get persecuted sometimes. That's why people reject you sometimes. That's why people can't stand you sometimes. So I want to give you a little bit of the word about wisdom from the Lord's perspective. In Matthew 13, verse 54. Matthew 13, 54 says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. So did you ever drive your hometown folks a little bit up a tree because of the wisdom that's inside of you? Luke 2:40. And the child grew, became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Who is that? Jesus himself. 1 Corinthians 1:24. St. Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Ha-ha. Now that's the believer, isn't it? The anointed one has the power of God and the wisdom of God. Whose wisdom was in Solomon? God's wisdom. Okay. I'd like to give you a few more scriptures just to kind of press home the buttons a little bit. 2 Timothy 3:15. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. What a promise. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, telling him, ever since you're a little boy, by the way, he was taught by his grandma, Lois. From infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, etc. And I could go on and on and on because there's a lot more. But I'm trying to give you understanding about the follow-up that we talked about on Sunday. We talked about the kingdom of God being within us, and now I'm trying to tack on a couple of more points so that you'll understand that the Holy Scriptures are able to release wisdom in you. I had a conversation this week with someone whom I pressured into reading the scripture out loud to themselves. And to their surprise, they kind of got shook up. Did you ever read the word to yourself out loud? What happens? It's different. And it's weird. Thank you. Because your soul is arguing with it. At least my soul did. Okay? And there's a war going on. The more you read, the more you give of the promises of God to yourself, there's an intense war. And I can remember Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, when I had to personalize it and begin to push buttons to make me think the way God thinks about me, rather than what I thought about myself and what other people's opinions were. How many ever had trouble with people's opinions? People's opinions will definitely destroy your peace of mind. It'll destroy your joy. It'll steal the peace that surpasses understanding. And you'll try to please them for all that you are able to. And I've got news for you. It won't work. Because no matter what you do and how many times you do it, they're going to let you know, hey, adjust it. You didn't do it right. Amen? So pleasing people is not what Jesus taught us to do. He said, please the Father. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. He never tried to please himself, and he never tried to please others. He tried to please the Father only. And he succeeded because he was obedient to Papa. So my conversation went on with this person, and I said, and what was the end result of you truly hearing for the first time, coming out of your own mouth, God's opinion of you? And their surprise was unbelief. Unbelief. I said, do you understand that unbelief is a negative spirit that wants to destroy you? Yep. How successful has it been? Quite a bit. You want to continue giving it room? No. Then continuing to do what you're learning to do will definitely let God begin to change you and radically overwhelm you with his mercy and grace until you begin to believe his opinion of you. And then the opinions of men will not have as much value. So what about those promises of God? When you and I begin to really trust in the promises of God, and there are many, they begin to change us. So tonight I'd like to take maybe another few minutes and give you a chance to share maybe one or two verses that you might know by heart that you've used successfully to back up what God says about you, or what you have stood on in order to overwhelm the enemy. So just bow your heads right now and just pray in the Spirit. Ask the Lord, what have I got in my heart that I can trust to release to others out of the Word? And as soon as you have one, put your hand up. Okay, Mary. Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say here?
That he knows the plan. He has a plan for us.
He has a plan.
To prosper and not to harm us.
Mm-hmm. What did that do when you began to put that word to work?
Gave me peace and courage.
Peace and courage. Did it expose some unbelief when you first began to use it?
More hope.
More hope. It created hope. Okay. Next. Yes, Rick.
Ephesians 6:12 carried me quite a distance, because I was battling with everyone around me, and it took me a long time for that scripture to sink in, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and
rulers. So you began to let people go and begin to see that your war was not against people made of flesh and blood.
Exactly.
Did that include Rick?
Yeah, it took a while.
I had the same problem.
I think that came later in Romans, though, didn't it?
Okay. Anyone else? You got one? Mary Ann?
Corinthians
4, 8, and 9.
We are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed.
Never struck out and destroyed. Okay. You might take some of that to the bank. Anyone else? Psalms 91. Verse 1.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's did wonders for me at the age of 12. I had a lot of opposition from my family, which is my cousins and at school and everything. And I found peace in that. But what I didn't know that there was even a secret place to go in Christ. I found that out later, but that scripture really did a lot for me, even though I did not understand.
So even without understanding, it was still blessing you and releasing grace to you.
I learned later I learned what it really meant.
Yeah.
But I would read that every day. And I would find it.
Okay. Awesome. Anyone else? How about Isaiah 54, verse 17? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This is the promise and the inheritance of those who belong to the Lord. I'm going to twist your arms. Gail, you must have at least one.
I've got several.
Or which one?
Well, since I had trouble believing God loved me, reading many, 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 many times was Romans 5:8. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for me. I put me in there.
Good.
By the fact that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Therefore, since I am now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God, by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that I shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God?
Amen. So you're saved from indignation and wrath by him.
And that tied over with Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing.
Yay, God! That's awesome.
It sure is.
Zephaniah what?
3:17.
I think I'm going to borrow that from you for a little while. I probably need that a little bit. Anyone else? You can borrow these. Yes, young lady. Absolutely.
I don't know where it's from, but I know the chapter and the verse.
Good.
My God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory.
Oh. Mom, can you help?
No, I can't.
I already asked Mom.
She asked Mary.
I've looked at the Philippians film and I can't remember where it's from.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 4:16.
Uh-huh. Something 4:16. Very good.
Does it tell?
Excellent.
Does it tell?
Anyone else? Anyone else? How about Philippians 4:19? That goes out on every one of my checks. God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I can remember when I did some ministry up in Canada, my niece heard me make that comment. And so at that time, they were starting a new company. And she came up to me and she says, Uncle, she said, is it okay to do that even on company checks? I says, by all means, you can ask your aunt. Every one of our checks when we had the company had the same scripture on every single check. Today, they do well over $5 or $6 million a year. They started off with one employee, and now they have 24 full-time employees. And they have been rated the first and the top plumbing supply house and installation of new plumbing into new homes for all of Quebec 2 years in a row, and it's never happened in the history of Canada. So I think God has supplied their needs, and they have four sons and have been blessed in multiples of ways. So God can do it. And so you say, well, is somebody going to get upset because I wrote it down my check? Yeah, because they got tested. She called me one night and she says, you would not believe all kinds of stuff I'm getting. I said, what are you getting? A little persecution is okay. Amen? Close your eyes. Father, I believe with them that these words of knowledge that they have released now, these scriptures that are promises from you, will begin to release into their world and into their families the blessings that were designed. And it's okay to borrow from one another so that God's people may be healed. And all of God's people said, amen. And amen. Share some hugs with each other, and may you be blessed.